Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
As South Africa looks ahead to the rest of the year, the economic landscape is presenting a mix of cautious optimism and persistent challenges. Now, the MasterCard Economics Institute has just released its much-anticipated Economic Outlook 2025. It offers key insights into GDP growth, consumer spending, inflation trends, and the forces shaping our economy. Here's some numbers for you. GDP growth projected at 1.7%, consumer spending set to rise by 1.9% and inflation to moderate around 4.2%. So all very mediocre at this point. But the report also highlights some encouraging developments, from improving electricity supply to the potential of tourism revival. Let's try and pull all of this together in a quick conversation. Gabriel Swanepoel is with us, country manager for Southern Africa at MasterCard. Gabriel, welcome. Thank you very much indeed. Let's start with the big picture. A 1.7% GDP growth obviously sounds better than last year, but no, we're near enough to truly turn our economy around.
Jeremy, thank you very much. Thank you for your time, and hello to your listeners. No, I think you're right. I think it's not what's required, but it's certainly some green shoots to be optimistic about, and hopefully we can see some consumer spending increase at the back of that.
But that GDP growth, as we've said, is an improvement, but the concern is still a lag behind the global average, if I'm not mistaken, around 3.1-3.2%. We've still got to deal with structural weakness in this country that prevents us from keeping pace, don't we?
Yes, we do. I think that it's important to call out that even though this initial green shoots are starting to come through, I think some of the fundamental movements that need to take place is a recognition in terms of what broader digitization could potentially do for the economy. I think that there's an important recognition by the banks and other financial stakeholders that the growth in electronic infrastructure and the ability to support small businesses to grow and reach larger markets is important. And I think that these structural changes, you know, could help us get into the 21st century with both feet and help South Africa grow.
Well, let's reflect a little bit on consumer spending, although low, but I guess we take what we can get these days, a projection of around 1.9%. But the reality, Gabriel, is we still struggle under high debt, job loss, rising costs. Do you think this growth is realistic or just wishful thinking?
I think if you look at the growth in terms of the broader e-commerce market, and you know, when we look at it, it's actually been true for the last 5 to 6 years. The e-commerce growth, or the digital online retail sales growth in South Africa, has increased by around somewhere between 27-32%, depending on the year that you look, but overall around the 30% mark. And I think what we're starting to see is a shift in terms of, you know, the consumer being able to become familiar and more comfortable with e-commerce transactions. And I think that comes at the base of the structural reform that you mentioned a little bit earlier. You know, we look at things like a more competitive e-commerce landscape with the introduction of Amazon coming into South Africa last year. There's increased confidence amongst consumers that we've spoken to, but also, you know, a much easier interface for people to, you know, be able to leverage these services. We think about, you know, consumers choosing online spending just because of the convenience factor that it affords. And then obviously, you know, everybody knows about the massive success that entities like ShopRite has had with the introduction of 60-60 and what that ultimately does, you know, to meet consumer demand.
I'm wondering if there's a correlation at all between more convenience, and the move towards a digital economy has obviously made things easier, with a greater propensity to spend. In other words, because it's so easy, we're going to spend more.
I think there's certainly a reason to think about that. I think one of the pain points that we've managed to alleviate in terms of lower transaction spending, so think about buying a coffee, is the ubiquity that a contactless transaction now provides you, for example. So if you go into a Seattle coffee company on, you know, in the morning, and you tap your card and you're off with your coffee in 2 minutes, it's certainly more convenient. And the same is true in the online space. I think that increased convergence, you know, coupled to consumer centricity, me being my ability to consume products online when I want and how I want from the comfort of my own home, has certainly, you know, added to that. And I think it goes beyond just the online spending. I think it's also in terms of utility payments. You know, I no longer have to, you know, stand in a long queue, you know, at a retail outlet in order to pay my monthly electricity bill. I can just do it online.
I mean, the reality, though, is there's a certain degree of risk attached to that. You can tap and buy the coffee every single day, but wait until the bill comes at the end of the month.
Yeah, especially depends on your taste. I agree with you.
Inflation, the report says, is expected to moderate around 4.2%. I think that's general consensus, but we also know that food and energy prices do remain high in this country. So I guess the question would be, do you think everyday South Africans are actually going to start feeling any real relief, or do you think this cost of living crisis is going to persist for the short to medium term?
I think the cost of living crisis is not over. I think that there's reason to be optimistic, but I think that we've got some way to go. You know, I also think that, you know, if you look at discretionary versus non-discretionary spend, people are trending towards making more, let's call it value-based decisions in terms of spending, as opposed to just a you know, decisioning around products, you know, product purchases. So I think that at the back of that, what we'll see is we'll see, dependent upon how our commercial or economic growth plays out over the next year, we'll see some movement in that space. But I think the specific sector to watch in terms of the spend that will have a rebound and, you know, could contribute to broader economic growth is probably the tourism industry. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. You rightly point out, the report rightly points out that tourism is seen as a major growth opportunity. But I always wonder whether we're capitalizing on it enough. That's one. And secondly, we do have crime, visa issues, infrastructure constraints, and that also is going to have an impact on tourism. The big question is, what needs to change urgently for tourism to truly take off?
I think if we look at the formation around the GNU following the elections last year, I think the hope is that there's renewed vigor in order to address you know, legacy visa systems and infrastructure development around that. And I think that if we do manage to make it a little bit easier for people visiting the country, that would certainly take away some of the friction that we've seen in that space and could get us into a positive trajectory for the broader industry itself.
And just a final question. The report points to rising female workforce participation, but at a 0.17% increase since 2019. Gabriel, the truth of the matter is this progress isn't really meaningful, is it? South Africa is still failing in many respects to create real opportunities for women in the workforce.
I think we've got somewhere to go, but I think that we have seen a surge. So South African women are embracing entrepreneurship with growing confidence, with about 57% identifying as entrepreneurs, which, if you look at it from a broader regional average, you know, speaking about Eastern Europe, the Middle East and Africa, it's up 57% versus 51%. I think the other thing that's heartening, you know, looking at it bottoms up from a South African and sub-Saharan African perspective, is that the surge is particularly notable among Generation Z women, with 89% expressing interest in starting their own businesses. You know, we've had an initiative in MasterCard where about 5 years ago we committed to bringing 500 million people into the digital economy, and through 350 programs in over 80 markets, we've now met that goal. And what we've done is we've taken a new aim now, which by the end of this year, we aim to include another 500 million people into the formal economy. But in terms of that, 50 million small businesses, we've got to focus there on enabling 25 million of those with women entrepreneurs. So I don't think the point being made is that I don't think it's necessarily just a national problem or a public problem. I think private industry needs to take on the mantle and assist with driving this growth and you know, creating this infrastructure through our women entrepreneurial enterprises as well.
And I appreciate your insights. That's Gabriel Swanepoel, Country Manager for Southern Africa at MasterCard, looking at the Economic Outlook 2025 report, which has just been put out by the MasterCard Economics Institute. Gabriel, thank you very much indeed. Good night to you.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.